Well, you thought you'd got me this morning, but it may be Sir Professor Sir Chris Whitty you've got, because I'm going to have to go next slide, please. Yes, go through that one. I felt really that before I said anything this morning, I felt urged that we needed a warning, and a warning that what you're about to hear may be seriously challenging on two grounds, really. One is that I'm going to be talking about our enemy a lot. And we don't like talking about Satan, really, do we? We like to perhaps pretend he's not really real and not there. But equally, he doesn't like us praising God and learning how to defeat him. And so I really do feel a warning this morning, both for myself and all of us. I've already had to say once this morning, get behind me, Satan. And I think, you know, that's pretty relevant. Also, I'd like to say that, as ever, I feel less than adequate and entitled to sit here talking about overcoming temptation. There are some other much more eminent speakers speaking on this subject if you want to look at them on YouTube. I have to say I didn't, but they're there. So I offer the following in the knowledge that I am not an expert on overcoming temptation. And with all humility, I speak as much to myself as to anybody else, recognizing we are all sinners saved by grace. Well before our digital age, God knew just where we would face, just what we would face, and inspired the Bible writers to give us verses to guide, support, and encourage. I don't think I've ever come across quite so many verses when researching a sermon topic before. Now, for two dictionary definitions, first, Dr. Google. Temptation, the desire or strong urge to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. And then the second definition from a Bible dictionary, temptation is anything which influences you to disobey God. So any life situation will either help us to grow or promote our destruction. Temptation, as referred to in the Bible, is not so much seduction as we might perhaps use the word today, but rather a test or a trial. Christ was both tested and tempted in the wilderness, and we are both tested and tempted. In my searches, another online website came up. It helpfully listed a whole list of apparently common temptations: to play hooky, to overindulge in food and drink, and perhaps even marshmallows, to gossip, to fiddle expenses, and the last one, to go to bed without brushing. Well, enough said on that, and on to the very much more serious stuff. Our reading from Matthew detailed Christ's testing and tempting in the wilderness. It's a well-known passage occurring between his baptism and the start of his ministry. Matthew is thought to have written his gospel as a handbook for all the new Christians, helping them to learn how to live a Christian life, which he thought was a whole life's work, having committed to Christ. So how can knowing about what Christ faced in the wilderness help us as we live our discipleship lives? Firstly, three questions. When did Christ's temptation experience happen? Straight after his baptism, during which God had identified him as his son, and the Spirit had descended upon him. Second question, who led Christ into the desert? The Holy Spirit. Christ knew where the Spirit was leading him. And like the cross, he could have said no. But he decided to take the hard path and follow. He was obeying God's plan. Question three, why was Christ led into the wilderness? So that Christ experienced both the testing and tempting that we do. It not only made him stronger for his work to come and highlighted that Christ is both fully man and fully God, it was so that we can fully accept that Christ knows what it's like for us. When Christ intercedes for us with the Father, he does so with the full knowledge of where we are, how we're feeling. Hebrews 4:15. For do we not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize? I think that should say who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. And Hebrews 2:17-18. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are also being tempted. In this context, is there a difference between testing and temptation? I would like to suggest that yes, there is. Testing comes from God, not because he hopes and wants us to fail, but rather because he wants us to trust and obey him and grow as we follow his word. Temptation comes from Satan as he seeks to get us to lose faith, to doubt God and ourselves. In cunning, manipulative ways, little by little, Satan drips lies into our ears and minds so that we will give in. He knows that instant gratification rather than patient waiting and obedience suits our natures. So what happened in the wilderness? As we've already heard, Christ had been fasting for 40 days, a reference back to the Israelites' 40 years in the wilderness. So when Satan came to Christ, he was hungry, in physical need. He needed to satisfy the needs of the flesh. Had he fed himself, it would have been a misuse of his powers and failed all of us and God. Christ quoted Deuteronomy 8:13-16. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers have never known, to test and humble you so that in the end it might go well with you. Christ reminded the Satan and us that we don't live just by physical food, but we need spiritual food. Then the devil tempted Christ to throw himself down from the temple roof to see if God's words could save him. Again, Christ replied with Deuteronomy 6:16. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. We must not put God to the test. Satan here was testing Christ's pride. Christ could easily have said, yes, go on, let's do it. Let's prove that I'm who I am. It would have made possibly the next 3 years easier. People wouldn't have doubted him. But it would also have been a misuse of his powers. Lastly, the devil took Christ to the highest mountain from where they looked out over all the world's kingdoms. All those kingdoms were going to be Christ's in time anyway, and it's queried as to whether or not the devil actually had the power to give these kingdoms. But again, Christ replied, quoting Deuteronomy 6:13, "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name." Satan was tempting Christ to take the power he would eventually have now. But again, to obey his Father and for our sakes, Christ resisted. It's interesting to remember that Christ was without sin and he could not sin. So I'm left wondering why, knowing this, did Satan even bother to try? Also, because Christ was in the wilderness, Satan had to confront him directly. That's not his preferred way of tempting and testing us. He would rather sneak up, I was going to say like the snake he is, and be more devious, just as we saw he did with Eve and then Adam in the garden. They actually faced the same three temptations: the needs of the flesh, self-pride, and gaining power. Some other things to think about. Both Christ and Satan quote scripture. Oh yes, Satan knows his scripture. He is, after all, a fallen angel and leader of the evil world we currently live in. But I'm sure you've noticed a huge difference in the way in which Christ quotes scripture and the way in which Satan quotes it. Christ quotes it to defeat Satan. Satan quotes it to tempt. Although Christ was both fully God and fully man, he could not sin because he didn't have our inner vulnerability, that is, a sinful nature. And it's that that opens us up to giving in. But Christ still had to resist. As we well know, our desire to sin is not of God, it's of us. So, as we go from day to day, with a God's Spirit dwelling within us, while Satan, sadly, sits over our shoulder, prowling around like a lion, dripping his lies in our ears, what can we do to overcome? 1 Peter 8:5-9 says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings." I want to take us back to Revelation and shout, Satan will be defeated. Christ wins. But I do know it's not that easy. Christ also knew how hard we would find it, the devil's tempting. Did he not put the lines, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," in the Lord's Prayer when teaching the disciples how to pray? I wonder, do we truly value those lines, or do we rather mechanically repeat them, failing to realize fully why Christ put them there? We can help ourselves by recognizing the ways in which temptation can come and when. Like Christ, we will face temptation, after we have professed our faith. When we are seeking to do God's work and professing publicly that Jesus is Lord. Also, as with Christ, Satan will seek to use our physical desires and needs. While many of these needs and desires are part of being human and genuinely need to be addressed, we also need to watch how we satisfy them. Sadly, Satan is also a master of disguise, and even our Christian brothers and sisters can lead us astray. He can send distorted messages, distorted interpretations of the truth. He can appear even as an angel of light, as we are reminded in 2 Corinthians 11:13 to 15, when he's actually Lord of the dark. Satan can and will use our anxieties, our fears for the future, making us feel we're alone, that no one else will understand our situation. Just not true. He may even use our desire to do good for others, telling us it's okay to step off the straight and narrow if it benefits someone else. No, but knowing that we want to help others, rather than give in, we can give that other person's need to God. He will answer. We can naturally be impatient. As we saw, it's not just children who want instant gratification. More so in our time, I think we've been led to believe that instant gratification is a human right. But no, we must watch that Satan will use this. Above all, as we've heard and sung, Satan will cause us to doubt our faith, to doubt God, and to disbelieve his promises. Having recognized the how and the when, how do we overcome? Firstly, be ready. Expect temptation, as it says in Matthew 26, 41. Watch and pray. Know your weakest points. Know when you will be vulnerable. Just know how Satan works in tempting you. One thing I read was interesting. It said, don't get overtired and care for yourself. Now that made me think, because all of us in a church fellowship know there are jobs to be done and we're ready and willing workers. And the thought that by getting overtired and not caring for ourselves might let Satan in was pretty stark. Be prepared. Hence the reading from Ephesians. Know your scripture and the devil's method. Use God's words against Satan. Ask others to pray for you. You are not alone. Know God's truth. And believe God. Believe God's promises, like those in Hebrews 13, 5. He has promised to always be there with us and before us, and that he will always provide a way out when he allows the devil to tempt. Think of Job. God allowed the devil to tempt Job hugely, but in fact, he still also limited what Satan could do. So avoid situations and sadly people which may or will bring you temptation, however painful that might be. Be aware that if we reconcile to a small temptation, a small concession, it can so easily grow, and that might grow into a much bigger temptation, which some would suggest can even lead to personality and character change. Ask others to help, to share your fight and concerns, Ask the right people to support you. And so be ready to help others, even if this means confronting someone in love about their behavior. Be ready to obey God's plan and timing at all times. And know, as in John 10:3-4, the shepherd's voice, so that when he speaks, we hear. This may mean living a very different life experience to the one you had hoped for. But however hard, remember, God has a plan and will help. Remember, we are blessed if we persevere under trial. Every temptation overcome is a battle won, as James says in chapter 1:12. Actually, practice overcoming temptation at a time, a step at a time. Just remember, you are not the first Christian to face temptation and will not be the last. But we are all fighting the good fight. And with God's help, we can all overcome it. And just not let Satan take away God's promises to us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that as with everything in our lives, you have walked the road before us. You know exactly how we feel. And you have shown us the way we should be. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to guide, encourage, and answer us as we seek to overcome the temptations of Satan. Yet give us strength when we face God's tempting. In and through your name we pray. Amen.